Well, praise the Lord. God is here tonight. Amen. And my, we are blessed. All praise the Lord. It's so wonderful to know the Lord. It is so true when we get in His presence. All the cares of this world begin to disappear. All the heartaches and all the difficulties and all the troubles we are having. Praise the Lord. The Lord knows how to banish them all. It's beautiful when we get into His presence. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. His peace comes down. His joy enters into our hearts. We begin to worship Him. We begin to get our minds off the things of this world. Praise our God. Amen. Our God is so good. Amen. And He's here with us tonight. Praise the Lord. Let's go into prayer right now. Oh, Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father, we thank You again that You are here, Lord. Oh God, You are here among us, Lord Jesus. Oh God, You know how to send forth Your Spirit, Lord. You know how to baptize all of us in the name of Jesus and in Thy holy immersing power of the Spirit of God. And I pray, oh Lord, that You would work here tonight. I pray, oh God, that You'd move in us, Lord Jesus. I pray, oh God, that You touch us afresh, oh Lord. Oh God, we need that fresh touch from You, Lord. Oh God, we need that place in Thy presence, oh Lord. Oh God, we need that fire to fall upon us, Lord Jesus. I pray that You would be here, Lord, to work in us, to baptize us. Oh God, with the Holy Ghost and with fire, Lord. I pray, oh God, that, oh Lord, You'd help us to get ready for that great and terrible day of the Lord. Oh God, we know that You are coming. We're seeing the signs unfolding before our eyes, oh God, like never before. And I pray, oh God, that You'd help us to prepare our hearts. Oh Lord, talk to our hearts. Move in us, Jesus. Give us faith. Oh Lord, faith to stand fast in the midst of all the sin. Oh God, help us, oh Lord, to have that faith to go forward. And oh Lord, never looking back, but always looking beyond and believing You, Lord, and trusting in Thy mercies. Oh God, I pray that You'd move here tonight, that You'd have Your way, Lord. Oh God, take Your word and use it, Lord God. I pray, oh Lord, that You'd move in each and every life. God, that You'd move the mountains that need to go, Lord. Oh God, oh Lord, that You'd give us faith to believe You, Lord, that Your fire would come down, Lord. Oh God, to consume all the dross and all the things that need to go, Lord Jesus. Oh God, and to move in our hearts, Lord, to give us that power. Power from on high. Oh Lord, we thank You, we praise You, we ask that You'd work here tonight. In the name of Jesus, oh Lord, have Your way, Lord. Oh God, we come against anything that would try to disrupt or hinder, Lord. Let there be no hindrances. Let our hearts, oh Lord, oh, be filled with Thy presence, Lord, with Thy touch, oh Lord, with Thy anointing, Lord. I pray, oh God, that You give us ears to hear. Eyes to see, Lord, a mind to comprehend. And I ask this in Jesus' name, by the power of the blood, work in us, Lord, meet the needs of Thy people, Lord. Move, O Lord, in a very special way, I pray here tonight. In the name of Jesus, by the power of the blood, in Jesus' name. Thank You, Lord. Oh, thank You, Lord. Oh, God, I could do nothing without You. I ask You to have Your way, Lord, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank You, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Oh, I'm so glad that we can gather here tonight. I'm so glad that we can get our hearts ready to meet the King. And you know, that's what it's all about. This life is short. But you know what we do with this little short life? It's going to affect our eternity. And, oh my, there's no time to turn back. There's no time to backslide. There's no time to be slothful. Oh, we need God so drastically. We need to draw closer to Him, closer than we've ever been. Amen. Yes, He's going to come one of these moments. That trump is going to sound and He is going to appear. It's going to happen. And Oh, we must be ready. We must have our hearts right with God, and we don't want anything to come between us and our God. How we need Him. Oh, praise the Lord. And here we have opportunity, these moments that God has given us to get ready for that great day of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. We've been talking about getting ready to meet the King, and I am going to continue with that tonight. I know we talked a lot about the need to be born again, that need to enter in at the straight gate, and oh, yes, how we are born again of the water and of the Spirit. Praise the Lord. And I would just like to say, I know I taught from Matthew 25, the story of the 10 virgins last week. And, for quite a while, I'd be preparing and, I'd be planning to talk about the coming of the Lord. And, I would think quite often, well, Lord, would you have me to go to that, that portion of scripture there in that 25th chapter of the book of Matthew? And, it seemed like the Lord always said, no, not right now. No. But I'll tell you what, last week, when I was preparing for my study, oh my, I felt the Lord urging me to go to Matthew 25. And I thought, wow, well, this is familiar, But, when I began to read it, it seemed like the Lord began to show me things that I had not understood completely before. Now, I'll tell you what, it is so important if we be wise to have that oil in our lamps. Amen. That extra oil. Oh, yes, how we need it. We know that is what distinguished the wise from the foolish. The foolish had lamps, but they took no oil with them. They had vessels, but there came a time that they had no oil in those vessels. And therefore, they were out. They were useless. And how we need that oil of the Holy Ghost. We mentioned how that oil represents the Holy Ghost. And how we must have it in our hearts. We must be filled with the Holy Ghost. When the five virgins wanted to borrow from the wise, the five foolish, that is, wanted to borrow from the wise ones, there was no possibility of exchange at that moment. And so it is with the Holy Ghost. It's a very individual thing. We can't borrow it from somebody else. It has to be our own personal infilling of God's Spirit. And praise the Lord, God made a way that if we will draw nigh to God, He will draw nigh to us. Oh, yes, and we can just get our minds off the things of this world and all the other things that try to disrupt our thoughts and get our minds on Jesus. Oh, yes, on His goodness, on His mercy, on His love. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, He knows how to take us, how to fill us with the gift of the Holy Ghost, how to take that unruly tongue, oh yes, and pour out of His Spirit. Praise the Lord, so that we speak in tongues and magnify the Lord, just as they did at Pentecost. Praise the Lord. Oh, I thank our God. Yes, we're getting ready to meet the King, and how we must be ready, praise the Lord, to meet Him. As I begin this portion of study here tonight, I just want to begin by going to Revelation, the 19th chapter, just a little portion here from Revelation 19. It tells us in verse 4 here, Revelation 19, verse 4. And the 24 elders and the four beasts fell down and worshipped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia. And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye His servants, and ye that fear Him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thunderings, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. Oh, yes, that is right. It tells us in verse 8, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, God's righteousness that he clothes us with. Oh, yes, filled with his spirit. Oh, yes, baptized in his name. Oh, yes, when we've given our lives over to the Lord Jesus. Amen. But this life is a preparation. We are getting ready for the marriage of the Lamb. And it tells us in verse 7 here, his wife hath made herself ready. Oh, that's talking about the church of the living God. Yes, that's what we're doing here in this world. We're here to get ourselves ready for the great and terrible day of the Lord. He's going to come and judge this world in righteousness. And how we must be ready for that moment. Amen. And that's what it's all about, this life. Praise the Lord, getting ready to meet the Lord so that we can be counted worthy, so that we can be accepted in his sight. Oh, yes, so that we can be there, clothed in his righteousness. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, not that of our own, but that because we've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Praise the Lord. He's cleansed us. He's made us his own. And praise the Lord, we've been walking with him. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to go to the book of Colossians. And, you know, when I began this study several weeks ago, you know, we at first, you know, got into scripture, which definitely proves that Jesus Christ is coming again. We talked about how we must enter in at the straight gate. And yes, with entering into the straight gate is that process of being born again. Amen. And yes, it can be a process because sometimes it takes a while for it all to come together till we're really born of the water and of the Spirit. But praise the Lord works in our hearts. And yes, you know, little by little it all comes forth and, you know, it verifies the fact that we are the children of God. It's like his stamp of approval. And you know that Holy Ghost is that seal where when we're baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, we're buried with him. Praise the Lord. We're identifying with him in those waters of baptism. Praise the Lord. And yes, all these steps are important. Amen. They're all a process. The process of that second birth. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Amen. There from 1 Peter, the first chapter, verse 23. Praise the Lord. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's go to the book of Colossians, the very first chapter here. See how the Lord will minister to us tonight. Praise our God. I'm so thankful we have these letters. You know, you think of how the early church must have been so encouraged when they received one of these letters. They didn't have all these books. They didn't have these epistles like we have access to them now. And I do also want to just mention the epistles were written to people that were believers, that had been born again. So, you know, that is to be understood. And sometimes if we try to interpret it otherwise, we might get a little mixed up. But indeed, they're letters to the church, different specific churches that were established in the new covenant. Praise the Lord. I'm so thankful that we have access to so many of them. Amen. Praise the Lord. But we're going to be talking about our need to grow towards perfection here tonight. And that's why we're turning to Colossians, the first chapter. Let's look at this first chapter right now. Praise the Lord. I do want to say this church at Colossians was a city, Colossae, is close to Laodicea, which we're familiar with from the book of Revelation. It was a city of mercantile importance in the province of Pergia. And, you know, it just seems as we read this portion of Scripture here that we're going to realize, you know, I don't believe that Paul had met these people when he's addressing them. He had learned of them, it seems, through Epaphras, who's referred to in verse 7, and it seems like Epaphras definitely was associated with them. He was a minister. It could be that he founded that church, and there's also connections with him and with Laodicea too, and Hierapolis, and so we're not quite sure exactly, but there are references to him. The fourth chapter of the book of Colossians, it mentions him briefly. It says in Colossians, the fourth chapter, verse 12, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. And Paul continues to say in verse 13, for I bear him record that he hath a great zeal for you, and them that are in Laodicea, and them in Hierapolis. So praise the Lord, he was familiar to Paul, and he's also mentioned in the short epistle to Philemon. And there he's addressed as a fellow prisoner with Paul. So we can put it together, what references we have. And, you know, he was acquainted with Paul. And, you know, this book of Colossians was written at the very latter part of Paul's life. It was written while he was in Rome. And so how all this came together, it seems that Epaphras was definitely a minister. He had definitely associated with this church at Colossae. And, you know, somehow he became close to Paul. I mean, it's hard to put it together because, you know, we didn't live in that time. But, you know, he was also a fellow prisoner, too. So praise the Lord. We have that bit of knowledge. Amen. Praise the Lord. So let's begin. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So he's greeting them, and also with Timothy there in those first two verses. He continues to say in verse 3, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you, as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. Praise the Lord. So obviously, you know, I get the feeling that Paul had not met them in person, but wow, he found Epaphras, and however they connected, God knows, but he had learned of Epaphras, of them, and obviously he had good things to say about this church at Colossae. Praise the Lord. Yes, their faith was known. Their love was known. That hope that they had deep inside was known. Praise the Lord. And yes, it talks about how that word that had come forth in them was bringing forth fruit. Very positive things here. Praise our God. Praise the Lord. So verse 7 says, as you also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. So obviously, Epaphras was the one that, you know, made Paul known of this church, had shared his love for them. Praise the Lord. And yes, he was a faithful servant, a faithful minister, it tells us here. So obviously he was very closely associated with this church, possibly even the founding pastor, not sure. Goes on to say, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So Paul is going on, you know, since that time that they became known to him, God laid it upon his heart to pray for them. Oh, yes. And so it seems that, yes, that was a continual process as he thought of these dear people, that, you know, he would pray for them, and it was his desire that they would be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Oh, praise the Lord. And he goes on to say in verse 10, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. So yes, these were the desires. This is why he's writing this letter to this church. Oh yes, he's learned of them, and oh, they're on his heart, and he's been praying for them. They're on his prayer list, in other words. Praise the Lord, and he has great desires for these people. First of all, that they would be pleasing to God. And yes, that they would be fruitful in every good work. And yes, that they would increase in the knowledge of God. Praise the Lord. That sounds like spiritual growth. A man that need to grow in the ways of the Lord, in the knowledge, in the wisdom of our God. Yes, and to go forth and to bear fruit. Yes, and yes, to bear fruit in every good work. And of course, to be pleasing to our God. Amen. And he goes on to say in verse 11, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. And you know, it seems like Sister Sharon, we might have considered this verse in one of our Skypes a little bit. Back there, this is amazing. It's God who strengthens us. And he emphasized the need for them to be strengthened with all might and according to his glorious power, God's power, God's enablement. He's the one that gives us strength to live day by day. He's the one that gives us the ability to overcome. He's the one that gives us the ability to withstand those trials and those tests. And yes, he's talking about unto all patience. Patience doesn't come easily. Patience is something that comes through hard things, trials, suffering, tribulation. It doesn't come with a snap of a finger. You're not going to acquire patience through nothing. And then he talks about long-suffering, oh yes, you know, enduring these hard things, you know, and continuing to stand on God's promises and believe God, willing to suffer long if necessary. And he says, with joyfulness, that kind of spirit, oh yes, oh my, to meet that with a joy that comes from the Lord. Amen. Despite things that are hard, and sometimes we don't even understand the whys. In fact, probably hardly ever do we understand the whys, you know, unless it just is so obvious that we couldn't miss it. But, you know, oh my, what a thing. God knows how to give us his strength, his power, his ability, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. And he continues to say in verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Oh, praise the Lord, that thankful heart. And I know, yes, we're told in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Praise the Lord. There's something about a thankful heart. Even when things go awry, even when we're going through a difficulty, when we don't understand, and oh my, there's something so precious about that ability to thank God in the midst of those trials. In fact, seems to bring forth a great strength when we can be thankful despite the unknowns, despite the perils and all the situations that seem to be in opposition. But it's God who hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. And you know, that means he's made us fit. He's worked on our hearts. He's getting us ready so that, yes, we can be meet or fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Oh, the wonderful things that God has reserved for his people, that inheritance that he has in reservation for those that seek his face and endure until the end, those that overcome. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Verse 13 tells us, and this is quite an amazing verse in my opinion. It says, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Oh, what God has done. He took our lives as they were, when we didn't know him, when we were unfaithful, when there wasn't much that you could say about us that was good even. But God took us out of the world. He delivered us from the power of darkness. Took our lives, and when we obeyed the gospel, praise the Lord, he translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. This is an amazing thing when we think about it. Oh, it does mean that we were made fit, made meet to be in that condition where we could be delivered out of the hand of the enemy, out of the power of Satan in reality, and be brought out of the darkness into the kingdom of our God, translated, moved from this world into that spiritual realm that the Lord Jesus brought forth for his people. Amen. It speaks of this in Ephesians, the second chapter, and I'd just like to read some of this here in Ephesians, the second chapter, think it goes very well along with what we just read there. It tells us in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins." And of course, Paul is addressing the church at Ephesus in this chapter, in this book. And those people too, just like all of us, we were once in that other world. We once didn't know the Lord. We once were going about our own lives and trying to, you know, work it out according to our own thinking. But praise the Lord, there was that day when the Lord talked to our hearts, when he began to move in our lives. Oh yes, when we began to see our need to repent, to turn from our sinfulness. Even that revelation that we were sinners, how it all came to us. It was the Lord talking to our hearts, drawing us to himself. He began to move in us. Praise the Lord. And yes, making us alive, quickening our being so that we could be alive and not dead. Because when we served the devil, when we lived in the world, we were dead. We were considered dead. We were dead spiritually in our trespasses and sins. And that's the way it is. You know, we might have thought we were fine. You know, we might have thought we were having a jolly good time. But that moment when we begin to realize, oh, it's such a wonderful work of God, when we begin to see our need for Jesus Christ, when we see our need to repent and to get right with God, oh, that quickening power begins to work in us. Praise the Lord. Tells us in verse 2, "Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." We were all back there. Oh yes, you know, walking according to the course of this world, what was normal. "According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." We were children of disobedience. Verse 3, "Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." Oh, that describes it, doesn't it? Oh, our conversation, our conduct, our behavior, our manner of life, you know, this is what it was. We were living according to the flesh, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. All those things were a part of our makeup, our thinking. You know, we were fulfilling the desires of our flesh and of our mind. Again, you know, if it felt good, do it sort of thing, you know, or whatever all. Maybe we had some restraints, but, you know, it certainly was a different course back then. And it's described here as children of wrath, even as others. But praise the Lord, what a day. As verse 4 tells us, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus." Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, we were all back there dead in our sins. Oh, that Spirit of the Lord began to draw us unto himself. Oh, yes, unto God. And oh, yes, that understanding as he called, that call to repentance. Oh, yes, and we begin to heed as we begin to listen, as we begin to yield, as we begin to submit our lives unto God. Oh, he took us. They begin, oh, to quicken us, to make us alive, oh, yes, so that our thought process, our actions, our deeds, oh, our whole life would be changed by his mercy and his grace. Our God, who is rich in mercy, oh, that undeserved love, oh, that he gave, that he bestowed upon us, so that, yes, instead of pouring out his wrath upon us and giving us the things that easily could have dumped on us, he showed us mercy. He showed us love. And he began to deal in our lives. He began to work in our lives. Oh, to that point, yes, after we had obeyed the gospel. The gospel was the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. And yes, that death is the dying out to our sins. The burial is the baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And the resurrection, oh yes, is the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. And yes, he hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. We can come to the Lord. We can worship him in spirit and in truth. His presence comes down. He comes and he dwells among us. Oh, yes, where two or three are gathered together in his name. He promised that there he would be in our very midst. He comes down, oh, yes, to sit with us, to work in us, to inspire us, that we can sense his presence. Oh, yes, those touches from heaven. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, those heavenly places. Oh, when we begin to feel his power, his might, his goodness, the things of this world begin to vanish. As we sense the Spirit of the Lord and, oh, know of a surety that he is among us in our very midst, working in our lives, and all we can sense his presence, his touch, his might, his mercy. Oh, praise the Lord, his great love toward us. And it's a taste of those exceeding riches of his grace. Oh, praise the Lord. It's just a taste of that. Those things that he has reserved for them that love him. Verse 8 here in Ephesians 2 tells us, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Oh, what a gift he has bestowed upon us. And he tells us in verse 9, not of works, lest any man should boast. Oh, we could never earn this gift of God. But praise the Lord, he works in us, and we become his workmanship. Oh, yes, his creation, that new creature in Christ. Praise the Lord. Verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Oh, praise the Lord. He takes our emptiness, our worthlessness, begins to work in our lives. He begins to change us. He begins to mold us. He begins to make us what we ought to be in him. He begins to make us acceptable to stand before him. He begins that work of perfection in our lives. Praise the Lord. All those steps to get us ready to meet him. But he comes in the clouds. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank the Lord. We become his child, his sons and his daughters. And he puts upon us that spirit of adoption, that gift of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord, so that we can be his children. Praise the Lord. And clothed in his righteousness. Oh, praise the Lord. And ready to stand at the day of his coming. Praise the Lord. So back here in Colossians, praise the Lord. It tells us again in verse 13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. Oh, that course we were all on at one point, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Oh, praise the Lord, it's a spiritual kingdom. Yes, you know, it's not visible to the eyes. But we walk by faith and not by sight. Oh, yes, we walk with the Lord. And oh, yes, He begins to work in us. And yes, if that regenerating power of the Holy Ghost works within us, praise the Lord, then we have been translated into the kingdom of His dear Son. Verse 14 tells us, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Oh, what a predicament. Oh, yes, you know, as we all were when we were dead in our trespasses and sins. But our wonderful God wrought such a wonderful salvation, willing to die for us on that cross to take our sins so that we might be His children, so that we might be forgiven our sins, our trespasses, praise the Lord, so that we might be delivered from the power of darkness and be translated into the kingdom of His dear Son and have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Praise our God. Thank the Lord Jesus. And then He begins to describe the Lord Jesus here. And listen to this here in verse 15. It says, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. Talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, His Lordship. And it tells us in verse 15, He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Praise the Lord. If we look at the first chapter of the book of John, I'm turning there right now, praise the Lord. We see it told in a similar way here. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Verse 3, very similar to what we just read in Colossians. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Oh, what a moment that was. The world was void. It was empty. It was full of darkness before the Lord God Almighty came upon the scene and shone His light upon this earth, this world. Oh, praise the Lord, and began to form it, began to shape it, began to create it. Praise the Lord, taking it from nothing and making a great creation from it. Oh, that light that shone in the darkness. And so it was with our beings. Oh, yes, we all walked in the darkness until the light of the Lord Jesus began to shine in our lives. Praise the Lord. The darkness didn't really comprehend that it was dark until the light began to shine. And so it is with us. You know, if you're walking in the dark, that realization isn't there until the light begins to move in your life. But praise the Lord, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. Verse 6 here in John 1 tells us, there was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Speaking of the Lord Jesus, it tells us in verse 10, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And you know, just pausing a moment to look at verse 12 here, it tells us those that embraced Jesus Christ, that received him, that came to him, with a willingness to repent. To those that received him, he gave them power to become the sons of God. You know what that power is? The power is the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's right. Oh yes, Jesus said, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Praise the Lord. Acts 1, verse 8. Yes, that is the power of the Holy Ghost that he gives to his people so that they can become the sons of God. And even to them that believe on his name. How do we embrace his name? Oh yes, we acknowledge it in the waters of baptism. Praise the Lord when, oh yes, we identify with him. We're buried with him in those waters of baptism, embracing his name by that immersion, by that baptism. Praise the Lord. Praise our God. Verse 13 tells us here, John 1, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. The reference here is to the new birth, that of being born again. It's not being born in the flesh as we all initially were, but it's being born of God. That second birth, praise the Lord, that being born again of the water and of the Spirit, so that we can be participants in the kingdom of God. And here in verse 14, that word is so clearly identified. Oh, that word that was in the beginning, the word that was with God, the word that was God. Praise the Lord, the Creator. It tells us in verse 14, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Oh, praise the Lord. Just pausing a moment. You know, here in Colossians 1, it tells us, speaking of the Lord Jesus, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Oh, praise the Lord. God is a spirit. John 4:24. Yes, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. God was invisible. And yet, there was something that must be accomplished, and that was the reconciliation of this world. Oh yes, there was this plan of God from the beginning, from the foundation of the world, oh, that need. But God, as a spirit, was invisible. You know, after Jesus was raised from the dead, and in Luke, the 24th chapter, it talks about, you know, how they were frightened when he suddenly appeared to them, his resurrected body, and they thought he might be a spirit. But Jesus put them at ease and said, a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you have seen me have. He identified himself as not being a spirit. because otherwise, in that sense, he would be invisible. So God, in his great plan, put on flesh. Oh, yes, put his seed in the Virgin Mary. Oh, yes, so that she could bring forth the man Christ Jesus, who would be called the Son of God. He was the image of the invisible God. Praise the Lord. God robed in flesh, come to this world to save us from our sins. That Lamb of God who came to bear our sins. The Creator of the universe putting on flesh so that he would be visible. Oh yes, so he could come and die for us to take upon our sins. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, what a gift we've been given. Yes, in John, the first chapter, it tells us in verse 18, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Praise the Lord. Oh, this was God's way, his method, to reveal himself to the human race. Oh, yes, to make a way for fallen man. Praise the Lord. So, yes, that's how we can explain how Jesus Christ is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all those unseen entities, all things were created by him and for him. And of course, unseen and seen, because he talks about visible and invisible. And yes, it tells us in verse 17, to continue, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Praise the Lord, the Creator, God Almighty, robed himself in flesh to come to this earth to save us from our sin. Yes, and it tells us in verse 18, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Preeminence meaning the first place. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes. And oh, yes, he is the head of the body, the church. Oh, the church of the living God. He was the firstborn from the dead, the beginning, oh, yes, of this wonderful dispensation of grace. Oh, yes, that wonderful gift of salvation that he bestowed upon his children. Praise the Lord. Verse 19 tells us, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Amazing thing, that man Christ Jesus was God robed in flesh, the fullness of the Godhead indwelt in him bodily. Oh, praise the Lord. That's an amazing thing. Verse 20 tells us, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. It was a gift of reconciliation. Oh, that brought the Lord Jesus to this earth. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, he was making peace through his atonement. Through that blood on the cross, he was reconciling the world unto himself. In other words, he was bringing back that which had been destroyed, that which had been hindered through the power of sin. Oh, yes, that relationship that he had in the beginning, his perfect world at the first when he created Adam and Eden. Adam and Eve and put them in the Garden of Eden. Oh my. Sin came. And it wrecked that close relationship that he had with them. They had walked with God in the cool of the evening. Somehow God made a manifestation of himself in such a way that, oh yes, he could have that relationship with Adam and Eve. But all was lost when sin entered into the world. But praise the Lord, Jesus Christ came as the second Adam. Oh yes, because he came to reconcile us back to himself. Oh, so that we could be brought back to that close relationship that had been lost, that it could be established again. We could be made compatible, that we could walk with the Lord Jesus. What an amazing gift. What a gift we've been given. What a plan. Oh, to think of one so mighty putting on flesh to come to this world to save us from our sins, to make reconciliation so that we could be his sons and daughters. Verse 21 here in this first chapter of Colossians describes how we once were. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. This is an amazing thing. Yes, alienated and sometime, oh, means formerly. We were alienated from God. Oh, we were cast away, in other words. We would have died in our sins. We wouldn't have known the joys of heaven. Amen. We would not have had hope in our earth vessels. And we were enemies by our wicked works. Oh, the condition of sin separated us from God. And sin separates us from God. That's why we must repent. That's why we must give our sins over to the living God. He made atonement for us so that we did not have to live in those sins. Oh, so that we could be set free by the blood of Jesus Christ from those sins. We don't have to walk in those ways. Those sins alienated us from God. Those sins were enmity. They separated us. They hindered us. Oh, it was like a barrier. It was like a wall till the reconciliation took place. Till the Lord Jesus Christ came and made reconciliation for us so that we could come to him and have those wicked works destroy that pattern of sin, that way of life. Oh, yes, that it could be taken from us, that we could be forgiven our sins and our trespasses, that we wouldn't have to walk in them anymore. Praise the Lord that we could be his sons and daughters, that we could, yes, go forward to obey that command to be baptized in his name, filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. And praise the Lord. Oh, there was a need. There was such a need to undo the works of the devil. Oh, that which sin had brought forth into this world. That wall, that barrier, that enmity that was between us and God. But yes, Jesus Christ came to redeem us, to save us, to reconcile us. Praise the Lord. And there's a reason. It tells us how he did it in verse 22. In the body of his flesh, through death. Yes, that's what his death was all about. We needed a Savior. We needed somebody to help us. We were full of sin. And there needed to be a way that we could get rid of that sin. So yes, this is how his reconciliation took place. In the body of his flesh, through death. And the reason, the second part of this 22nd verse. Praise the Lord, oh yes, so that he might present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Oh, praise the Lord, oh yes. That is why he did that. Oh, so we could be reconciled to him and we could be presented before him as holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Oh, nothing to stand behind. between us and our God. No need for reproof, no sin or guile. Blameless, in other words, in the sight of God. Oh, that's why he did it. Praise the Lord. In the body of his flesh through death. That's why he suffered that cross. Took upon him. Oh, yes, all of that. Oh, yes, it suffered. So that he might present us as his children, holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Oh, yes, so that we could stand in his sight. And there's a condition to it. Verse 23 tells us, if ye continue in the faith grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Oh, praise the Lord, yes. Oh, that wonderful work of salvation that the Lord has wrought. Oh, for his plan, for his purpose, that he might present us blameless before him, holy, separated, oh yes, from the world, his own children. Oh, no need for reproof. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Oh, praise the Lord, that glorious gospel that went forth, and all the work, all that went with it, praise the Lord. You know, it's more than we maybe comprehend fully. 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter, verse 18, tells us, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Praise the Lord, there's that description of his work of reconciliation. Oh yes, that he once suffered, one time. It was sufficient for our needs. Oh, he suffered for our sins. He took our sins upon himself. The just for the unjust. Nothing that we could have ever have deserved. Nothing that we could ever have merited. Oh my, we were just as unfit as anybody else. But oh yes, his plan, his purpose, his desire that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened, or in other words, made alive by the Spirit. Oh, that resurrecting Spirit of the Lord. Oh, God Almighty. And oh, if that Spirit that was in Christ dwell in us, that resurrecting power, that Spirit is going to raise us at the resurrection, so that we can stand in his sight and be quickened. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. And verse 19 here in 1 Peter 3 tells us, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah. Oh, the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, 8 souls were saved by water. Verse 21 tells us, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. Oh, praise the Lord, the redeeming work of the Lord as he brought reconciliation. Even, oh yes, there as he went even to preach into the spirits in prison. Oh, praise the Lord. Talking about dead people, even disobedient people. But yet he presented himself. He presented the gospel even to such as they were. amazing how it was that they, oh yes, had opportunity. And praise the Lord, we have opportunity now too. He talks about the light figure of baptism. Oh yes, you know, though the earth was destroyed by water in the time of Noah, the eight that were on that ark were saved by that water. Likewise, those waters of baptism also now save us. It tells us in that 21st verse, it's not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the fact is, when we rise out of that water, we have the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen. Oh, yes. Those sins that are remitted in those waters of baptism, so that our conscience is cleared and so that we can stand before our God. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, what a wonder it all is. Oh, praise the Lord, our God, who has considered all the angles and all the aspects and did what was needed in its entirety to bring forth salvation. Amen. It continues here in Colossians, the first chapter, to finish this chapter. It says in verse 24, "Who how rejoice in my sufferings." Oh, I'm sorry, that's now a little more fair. It's "who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God." And yes, that was Paul's role. That was his part. That's what God had called him to do, to be that minister. Oh yes, according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, that period of time which God used Paul to fulfill his will in Paul. And it's explained in verse 26, "Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles." And listen to this, "which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." Oh, praise the Lord. Christ in you, the hope of glory. The wonderful plan of God. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, the Lord Jesus giving up the ghost on that cross. But praise the Lord, he sent his spirit back. A ghost is the spirit of a departed one. And praise the Lord at Pentecost. Oh, praise the Lord, the breath of the Holy Ghost came forth. Oh, yes. As they were in that upper room, the Holy Ghost began to fall. Oh, yes. And they began to speak with cloven tongues. The Spirit of God gave them the utterance. So praise the Lord as they began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. There appeared unto them cloven tongues. And then, yes, they began to speak it forth from their mouths as the Holy Ghost worked in them. Praise the Lord. Oh, as the Spirit that was in Jesus Christ came forth in his children. Praise the Lord. And Paul is making mention of it in verse 27. "To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." Oh, the wonderful plan of God. It was hidden for so long. People did not understand the mystery of God, that all this would come forth as Jesus Christ came into this world as the Messiah, as the Son of God, as the Christ, the Anointed One. He came forth to save his people. And oh, it would just be the Jews that he would save. But oh yes, he was praying for Gentile Christians to praise the Lord, that Jew and Gentile might have the hope of eternal life. They might know the riches of his glory. Praise the Lord that he might be manifested or might be revealed to all his saints. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. The wonder of it. Christ in you, the hope of glory. The Spirit of the living God coming forth to work in us, to operate in us. Oh, yes, to make us a light in this world. Praise the Lord, the wonderful gift of the Holy Ghost. Verse 28 tells us, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. Oh, praise the Lord. That was his goal. Oh, that's why he went forth. Oh, suffering many trials and persecutions. Paul had that zeal in his very being. Oh, yes, he wanted to preach. He wanted to warn. He wanted to teach every man the wisdom of God, the power of God, the might of God, yes, with a goal that he may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, that is the need. Oh, we're all going to stand before the living God. We're all going to be there. And how necessary it is we stand before him, that there would be no blame. Oh yes, there would be nothing to cause reproof in the sight of God, that we would indeed be holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. As Paul said it in verse 28, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. In other words, having got to that point of maturity, praise the Lord, where we've come to that point in the Lord where he can judge us faithful. Praise the Lord, as Peter wrote in 1 Peter 5, verse 10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's the goal. That's the aim. That's the necessary thing as we continue to walk this road of faith. Oh, yes, grounded and settled and not being moved away from the hope of the gospel. Praise the Lord. Oh, that's why the Lord Jesus came, so that we might be his sons and daughters. Oh, that we might stand before him without sin, without blemish. Oh, to be holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Praise the Lord by the grace and the mercy of God, the one who made reconciliation for us, that we might stand in his sight and hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of my Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. That's our goal. That's our aim. That's how we are getting ready to meet the King. Praise the Lord that one day we can stand in his sight as we grow towards perfection in his grace. And in his knowledge, the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes. To meet the one that is coming again to receive his children. Praise the Lord. We are getting ready to meet the King. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Help us, Lord. Oh, God, we need you, Lord. Oh, God, I pray that you would move in us mightily, Lord. I pray that you would change us. I pray, oh, God, that our goals would be consistent with thy goals. Our hearts would be made right with you, Lord. Our will, not our own, but thy will, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, help us. Get us ready to be perfect in thy sight, to be able to stand in thy sight. Oh God, to be holy and unblameable and unreprovable in thy sight, Lord. Oh God, by thy grace and by thy mercy, help us, Lord. Oh God, fill us with thy spirit. Move in us mightily. Help us to continue in that grace wherewith you called us, oh Lord. Help us in the name of Jesus, I pray, in the name of Jesus, by the power of the blood. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. We are getting ready to meet the King. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Thank you, God. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank you, God.
Praise the Lord. In closing, we are going to open our hymnals to number 195 and sing "We Shall See the King," 195.
Praise the Lord.
Blessed time that's coming soon. It may be evening, morning, or at noon. The wedding of the bride, united with the groom. We shall see the King when he comes. We shall see the King.
Thank you.
God bless you all. Be safe. Have a wonderful night.